Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here. What's that? Oop. I got an echo.
Sounds good
up.
To me.
No, I got an echo.
Well, we're
going
here
up.
On an open show tonight. This is Money, Riches, and Wealth, where you, our listener, is our guest. And the phone number to call in is 410-922-6680. That's 410-922-6680. The beginning of the show is the best time to call. Because the lines are open and your question is the next one up. And we hope to have a lot of them today, don't we, Drew?
We do. We do indeed. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good. I got it fixed here. Somebody just accidentally moved my volume up way too high when they fixed something on this. So anyway, we're here, as Mikey says, on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call and ask a question. And the beginning of the show is always the best time, as Mike says, because you have the floor and you probably all have the most time because other people will take their time to call in. So you get the most attention to yours. And always keep in mind, there's lots of people out there who want to hear the answer to your question. So if it's on estate planning, income taxes, 401ks, IRAs, Roths, this is the time of year that you do your income tax planning. Not wait until you do your tax return. That's ridiculous.
Too late
when you're doing your... Well, there's some things we can do, but it's definitely too late. You know, you need to be doing that estimated tax analysis. You need to be doing Roth conversions. You need to be thinking of lots of other things before the end of the year. Not wait until the end of the year and pulling your stuff together. You got to pay all that money, you know. This is the time that you do the thinking about it and saying, oh, okay, so I'm going to owe money next year. How do I get prepared for it? I got 6 months, so let's do something. Anyway, there's all kinds of topics. It deals with your personal finances. We're here to help you. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question.
So,
Mike,
go ahead.
No, I was saying, what do you have on your mind?
Yeah, well, you know, for a lot of our listeners, they probably get some of their market updates whenever they see the news here or there, but they probably maybe don't get it every day. But we've had an interesting few days, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, it was finally a couple positive days after a week long of downturns. There's lots of reasons why markets go down. And normally the primary reason is because there are more sellers than there are buyers. You know that, Mike? That markets, you know, the media says, today the market has gone down because the Federal Reserve said X, you know, or the day the market went up because something, but here, whatever. And it's totally ridiculous. Markets are thinking 6 months to a year in advance. They're making decisions on what they think is going to happen in the future, not what's happening today, unless it's a completely surprising, unexpected thing, like the World Trade Center coming down in 2001. So,
yeah.
You know,
well, and, you know, one of the things that I think people don't pay enough attention to is just because the market went up a good bit one day or down a good bit another day, that's not always a fair interpretation of the state of things, because sometimes trading volumes are very low. And when trading volumes are very low, you can have somewhat of a significant move one way or another, but it doesn't mean as much, because the next time trading volumes go back up, it'll correct itself if it should be. But the last 2 days of really positive gains in the market, we had really, really high trading volumes, which gives us a lot more confidence.
Well, it says something that the bulls are not finished with the market, and you know, people are thinking like the market is going to zero. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, "I'm going to zero. I'm going to zero." You know, you own 1,000 or 2,000 of the biggest companies in the world. All 1,000 of them are not going to zero. probably not a single one of them is going to zero.
And if they do, you probably don't exist anymore.
Yeah, you know, it means that that everybody, the world doesn't exist anymore either. So it's totally fear-based that people get worried about these types of market moves. They come up with their theories. They hear something from somebody, a fearmonger, and saying that the world's coming to an end and this is why, and, you know, this person's destroying it, et cetera, et cetera. And nothing could be further from the truth. I would not be surprised, Mike, if you start seeing a significant turnaround in the market. I'm not saying it's going to be
a bull market.
I'm not saying it's going to be a bull market, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a significant turnaround in the market, and people who have been afraid are going to be regretful that they got afraid the way they did. And that's been the history of the market since the beginning.
Yep, absolutely. You know, but the one thing I want to acknowledge is, because, you know, you've had a lot of conversations, I've had a lot of conversations over the past almost year now, and people who are out there who are listening to you or I say this, you know, they've really had visceral emotional responses to this concept of losing money. And for a lot of people that work really hard, and even people that don't, nobody likes to see their money go away, and people start to feel very victimized. So, you know, having
but
those,
like, yeah, but like you and I talked about once on our video we just did, and we got to go soon, but let me just say this. Warren Buffett bought a stock at Geico in 1970 at 10. He bought it at 12. He bought it at 8. He bought it at 6. He bought it at 4. Did he think I lost 60% of my money from 12 to 4? Or did he think, I got a great company here and I'm going to hold on to it? It took them 2-3 years until it got back to 12, and they ultimately bought the whole company out at $190 a share. And that doesn't include splits. So anyway, that's the way you think about markets. Anyway, Mike, we got to take a pause, right?
Yep. But it's open show, 410-922-6680. All of our lines are open, so if you've got a question about personal finance, taxes, or other stuff, you know, let us know.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question: yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show with Michael P. McCarthy.
Happy to be here.
And if you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. We do have a couple callers online, but we have plenty of lines open. If you want to call and ask your question, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in. And it's what makes the open shows worthwhile is answering your questions, because we could ramble on things that nobody cares about. But if somebody calls in and says, this is what I care about, this is what I want to hear, if you can help answer this, this would be beneficial to me. And usually it's beneficial to a handful of other people that aren't willing to call in and ask that question. So give us your call, 410-922-6680. Mike, we got somebody online. Your namesake.
Let's go right to Mike in Baltimore. Mike, great name.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Okay, how are you?
Good, and you?
Good. I want to mention something, and then I'd like you guys to comment. I want to hang up on the stock market, okay?
All right.
In 2008 to 2020, the Fed has purchased $4 trillion of bonds and buybacks. Since 2020, the current time, they spent another $4 trillion in buybacks and quantitative easing and so forth. Now, they're going to do quantitative tightening. So I'd like you to comment on that in reflection to the market. Okay? Thanks, guys.
Right, yeah. Thank you.
I mean, that's a, you know, that's the $64,000 question that he's asking there, because no, there is no history with quantitative easing or quantitative tightening other than a little, well, you have some with quantitative easing with Japan going back to 2000. They started to buy securities and they've never really gone to quantitative tightening. So we don't have any history as to what quantitative tightening will do. We really don't have a lot of history as to what are the impacts of quantitative easing. We can look back to the last 10 years and say this is what it did, et cetera, et cetera.
And quantitative tightening, we only have months of experience with.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, actually, in 2016, they began quantitative tightening. And they continued to let securities roll off, and they were continuing very slowly to reduce the amount of securities they had purchased between 2008 and 2009. And, well, actually, all the way up to about 2014 or 15, they were still buying to some degree. But 2016, you remember, that was the taper tantrum. The taper tantrum. That's a hard one to get at. Taper tantrum. And so Yellen said that we were going to start quantitative tightening. And they did. And they, but it was very gradual. We don't have any experience on it. Now, what is my thought process toward it? I personally don't feel that it's going to be the end of the world. I don't believe that. That as long as the Fed doesn't rush to get rid of its securities in any way, shape, or form, and just slowly lets them roll off the balance sheet, I don't think it's going to be a big deal one way or the other. The thing that people are concerned with is the amount of debt that the major developed nations, the United States, Europe, and Japan, are accumulating in debt compared to their GDP. And with ultra low interest rates, it was a relatively simple thing to do to some degree. Now with interest rates rising, what does that do to the budget? And how is that going to impact countries with these major deficits and so forth? I think that's the bigger concern.
We know what it's like if they don't do anything. Then we really have problems.
Yeah, if they just continue to let the deficit accumulate. Now keep in mind that Japan has 250% of GDP debt to GDP. The United States only has about 100% debt to GDP. So, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon. Now, Japan's a unique country that has a very large trade surplus. So, you know, you have to take that into consideration. The United States runs a trade deficit. So, anyway, there's no answer to his question, really. We don't know at this point in time.
All right. We were going to go to our next call.
Go to Joe. Yeah.
Let's go to Joe in Westminster. Joe, how can we help?
Hi. My question concerns financial advisor making an offer for a particular investment. And I am quite reluctant to do any kind of transaction like that over the phone as opposed to a brick-and-mortar environment. I'm afraid, for instance, okay, you do all this by phone with tens of thousands of dollars. You call back 6 months later, hey, we don't have that phone number anymore.
Right. Well, you know, first off, in our opinion, in the financial consulate's opinion, nobody should invest money unless they're part of a comprehensive, thought-out financial plan. And even if it's you're the one that's leading the plan, there should be an understanding between the advisor and you as to what you're trying to accomplish, what's your tax situation, what's your overall comprehensive plan, what are your goals and objectives, what is your psychological makeup, you know, and so forth. So I would agree with you. Nobody should be taking a phone call from somebody and giving them money because they said, oh, this and that, you know, this is a great opportunity, you know, et cetera. So our opinion is you should be meeting with them. You should be, you know, they should be your comprehensive advisor. They shouldn't even be just focused on the selling of product. That's the way we operate. That's the way we feel every professional advisor should operate. All right. Great question, though. And we got to go to Jim in Centerville.
All right. Jim, how can we help?
Good evening. This is sort of a political comment at the same time. What companies would be good to invest in that are selling the U.S. government all the armament that's being shipped overseas?
Well, Raytheon, which was taken over by United Technologies, right, Mike?
Yep, Northrop Grumman.
Northrop Grumman has a lot of that, and General Dynamics are three of the big ones that are selling things to the U.S. government that they're then shipping over to the Ukraine. But I would never buy a company on something like that. You know, I mean, personally, that would be a mistake to, you know, just buy because there's a bunch of equipment going to the Ukraine. You know, you got to make sure you understand what's the valuation of those companies right now. What is their long-term prospects, not just for the Ukraine, because the markets are already priced in. A lot of the products that they're selling and could sell to the Ukraine over the next year or two, because like I said earlier, Jim, the markets think in advance. So they've already thought about the Ukraine war. They've already thought about what the U.S. might give them and where it's going to come from and so forth, what companies. What you really need to be thinking about is what's the next thing? Who's got something in the defense business that's going to be the next great thing before everyone figures out that it's going to be the next great thing?
Yeah, Boeing and Lockheed Martin also. Just for the sake of the question.
There you go. For the sake of the question, Jim, there you go. There's your answer.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Good question. Well, we're still on an open show. We've got plenty of lines left open. It's 410-922-6680. That's 410-922-6680.
Yep. And, you know, again, you know, right now, Mike, we have, what, 11, 12 advisors in the company? What's the count of the advisors?
I lose perfect count because of when somebody passes their test and then has their 2 years experience.
Okay. Well, I think it's 10 right now, 10 or 11.
I'll count
but
it
anyway,
up over the break.
The advisors in our company have been spending the last 2 weeks, and they'll go all the way through the month of October to go through each client and see, are there things they ought to be doing to lower their taxes for 2022? That's what your professional advisor should be doing. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Mikey, don't tell me I got to talk to you now still.
No,
only,
you don't.
Right?
You don't have to talk to me at all if you don't want to. We could go to our first caller. Our next
all right,
caller.
Go to him.
All right, Tom in Annapolis. Tom, how can we help?
Hi, I wanted to follow up on Jim's call about possibly buying stocks in defense contractor and manufacturers of defense goods. I want to remind Jim that irrespective of how much money's worth of armaments, Stinger missiles, switchblade drones or whatever we're sending there, 155 rounds all the way down to M16 rounds. There's been no congressional move on replenishing the stocks that are being sent over to Ukraine from our military stores. And it's kind of analogous to what we're doing with the Strategic Oil Reserve, which was set aside for Navy ships and Air Force airplanes, blah, blah, blah. If you remember back to the Yom Kippur War of 73-74 time frame, so many Israeli tanks, and they were still using some leftover Sherman tanks from World War II and Patton tanks from Korea. So many of our M60, A1, and A2 tanks were sent to Israel that, you know, we were in the hurt locker, and it hastened the retirement of the M60 tanks and sped up the acquisition of M1 tanks. So unless Jim knows something that I don't know or we don't know, I don't think Congress has moved to replenish all the thousands or millions of dollars worth of armament, and they're stripping our military bare of these things.
Yeah, well, that is a very possibility, and it's another reason why you don't just go out there and start investing in defense contractors, because you say, hey, we're sending a lot of goods over there and so forth. But, you know, so that's a very good point, and but we have to go on to our next caller. So,
all right, Mikey, we're going to go right to Mike in Eldersburg. Mike, how can we help?
Yeah, hi, good afternoon or good evening. I have a question about long-term care insurance.
Great.
Whether you guys have any.
Yep. I've always wanted to answer a long-term care question, but I've never got one in quite a while. So go for it.
Yeah, unfortunately, a family member has taken ill, and it's been a nightmare for the last month, and what we're looking at for myself is, whether try to self-insure or pay the very high premiums. I'm a retired federal employee, so I have the ability to use the federal government's long-term care insurance, but I know it is.
How approximate old are you now?
58. Young
58. Age. Are you married?
I am.
And your spouse's age?
She's 58 also.
Okay. And so do you have is it a family member, like a parent that's having a long-term care situation right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So the answer to your question is not simple, right? Truly, the long-term care government plan could be a very good option for you, okay? But we like to say it this way. Everyone needs a long-term care strategy as to how you're going to deal with it. Like you said earlier, will I self-insure it or am I going to insure it? Or are there other things I can do to help mitigate the risk of long-term care devastating my finances into the future? The answer to that question is not simple. Now, if you were talking to a long-term care insurance agent, they would tell you that you absolutely need long-term care insurance and that the federal government long-term insurance plan isn't a good one, that theirs is better, and here's why. And they'll give you all the reasons why. Because that's what long-term care insurance agents do. We're professional advisors, and we don't think like that. We think like financial people. Financial people do like you say. Should I self-insure it? Can I self-insure it? Do I have enough income and assets to self-insure it? Would it be prudent for me to spend? What things can I do to mitigate this risk? What's my family history? What's my medical history? Am I willing to take a chance of this? These are the kind of things we're going to go through with a client and say, you know, hey, this is what you're saying. Here's the risk if you go this way. Here's the risk if you go this way. Because you know as well as I do, right, that the federal government long-term care insurance program had, what, a 60 or 70% premium increase over the last 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, it's very expensive.
Yeah, it is, and it's getting more expensive. Now, I personally carry a long-term care insurance policy, and here's a very important point to you. If insurance is the option, you have to buy it now. You cannot wait another month, a year, 2 years, something like that, because every year you wait after you turn about 55, the chance of that insurance becoming ridiculously expensive or they not even offer it to you. All you have to do is have a doctor write one little iota of a mention of something in there, and the long-term care insurance companies probably will throw up their hands and say, yep, don't want to insure him, don't want to insure her. You know, that's what happened to my wife. She's a couple years older than me, and I was like 55. She was a little older. And so when they looked at her situation, she said, we don't want to insure her. And so I was the only one that bought long-term care insurance. But The point that I'm trying to make is that there isn't a telephone answer I can give you over this radio show. You have to go through a true risk management thought process on this issue and come up with a conclusion without somebody trying to sell you the insurance. Does that help?
Okay. It does very much. You've been on my list for 2 years to get in to see you, and I'm gonna make it happen.
Well, good.
Well, you know, I mean, but, you know, I don't say that because I want you to come see me. I'm just saying that that's the way everyone should be thinking about long-term care insurance. It's a risk management analysis. It is not buying insurance. There are other ways to mitigate this risk, like life care facilities. Have you ever heard of a life care facility where you pay a certain amount of money to an independent living community and they guarantee to take care of you no matter what your medical condition might be in the future?
Or if you run out of money.
So those are some potential answers. They're not perfect in any way, shape, or form, and they could be expensive too. So anyway, that's the answer.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Great question. Great question. I wish I could get more like that occasionally, you know?
Yeah,
anybody else online, Mikey?
There's not any more, but if somebody else has a great question about long-term care or any of those other topics we talk about, we still got a whole another section of the show left over.
Yeah. Now, you know, let me just talk about something while people call in, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask a question, we've got a quarter of the show still to go. You can ask your question. But Mike,
he's a poet and you didn't even know it.
I didn't even know that I was rhyming there, Mike. So the thing that's really frustrating the living heck out of me is how many people are leaving money in brick-and-mortar banks, savings accounts, earning 0.01%, when the online savings accounts, FDIC-insured, are yielding 2% or more. It's ridiculous. You know, think about it. Somebody's got $100,000 in a brick and mortar savings account. They're getting $10 of interest a year. And in an online savings account, they would get $2,000+ of interest a year.
I have some hard fact numbers for you because I just answered this for a client today. American Express, as of today, was at 2%. Marcus was at 2.15, and Allie was at 2.25.
Wow. So that's $2,250 from Allie Bank if you had $100,000. If you have $50,000, it's $1,125. I mean, you know, why would you, you know, you could tell me everything you want. It's just simply they just don't want to have to deal with it, you know? They
right.
just don't want to have to deal with the technology and so forth.
But they just don't know how easy it is, too. I mean, your money moves 24 hours later.
Yeah, it's incredible. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight. We've got to take another pause. We got a quarter of the show left. Nobody's online. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Mike, don't tell Anita, but she's not very creative at music.
I think she heard that.
Really? Oh, my gosh. I didn't mean for her to hear that. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. We have anybody online, Mickey?
We do. We can go right to Jim in Manchester. Jim, how can we help?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Just continuing questions about the long-term care. So,
okay.
Personal situation, my wife and I were older and couldn't afford to even begin the long-term care at age 55, so now we're close to 70. And I was wondering about there's annuity products that you could get. They're like an investment, but they're targeted to pay for that. So you kind of reserve that money. What's your opinion on that?
It's more marketing than it is a good solution. In other words, the insurance companies are using it as a bait to lure you in to buy the product from them, as it is a real helpful solution to the problem. They're also using life insurance as and they call them hybrid products. And they say, even if you don't use the long-term care, you're going to get your money back when you pass away. But if you really analyze what you're getting, the question is it really going to help you for all the money that you put into it? I'm not saying that they're worthless in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying they aren't a panacea for the issue. So that's why when I went over the things with the caller before, it's all about risk management. It's all about thinking out, well, what do you have? What income do you have? What assets do you have? What's your family history? What's your medical history? Where do you live? Where are you going to live in the future? What can we do to mitigate this risk? You know, et cetera, et cetera. And then look at, you know, options if there's need for those types of products. You know, now, if you already had an annuity, like, for example, there's a lot of times where clients will come into us where they already have an annuity in place. And we might decide that, okay, the risk of long-term care is fairly significant. So let's do a 1035 exchange into an annuity with the nursing care benefit in it, because it might help this situation somewhat. It's not going to be a panacea and solve it, but it might help some. But that's a rare situation we ever have. I rarely would ever take a client's money and do that. I think their better bet is to really think out the risk and try to figure out how to mitigate it better before I would use something like that.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the question. All right. We'll go right to Beverly in Arbutus. Beverly, how can we help?
Yes. My company was doing away with their pension plan this year, and it was just a really bad time for this to happen with all that's going on with my mother's illness and myself. I decided, through all the confusion, just to take the plan rather than to take their annuities. I'm 71, and 10 years I'll be 81, and I have no husband, children, brothers, or sisters to take care of me. So I thought I would take the money and have it available. But then when I got home, I was listening to the radio and decided I think I made a mistake. Now that I've done it, I don't know whether to. I have 1 week to get it into a Roth, if that's what I want to do. I don't know if that makes money available to me if I do that.
Wait, hold on a sec. So let me back up and let's start from the beginning. So what your company did is they said, we have a pension for you, could give you $500 a month, $600 a month, whatever. And they said, but in lieu of that, we'll give you $50,000, $80,000. Is that what happened?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I had to pay the tax on it and take the rest of the plan.
So didn't they tell you about a direct rollover into an IRA?
They wouldn't give me any information.
Really? And you didn't seek
any? I don't know if they told me that. I don't know whether she told me that. She told me to get a financial planner.
So how much money did they send you in general? Was it 10, 15, 50, 100?
I have a check for $202,000.
And they took taxes out of it?
Right.
And the check's in your name?
Right.
Ow. Ow. How long ago did they send that check to you?
It's dated August 17th.
Ow. She's got like a weak mic.
Mm-hmm.
ow.
I don't know whether to put it in a Roth. What I don't know.
No. You don't want to put it into a Roth. What you need to do, Beverly, is very important. You need to go down to a local bank and with that check and open up an IRA and put that check into the IRA, into a savings account in that IRA as soon as possible, tomorrow likely, okay?
Okay.
Very important. Do you have another $40,000 somewhere invested in a bank account, a CD or something?
Yeah, I think I do, yeah.
You need to get another $40,000 and put that into that IRA also, because that's probably the amount of money they took in taxes and put sent to the IRS. Is that correct? They sent about $40,000 to the IRS, $20,000 and $200,000 they gave to you. Is that correct?
They took $54,000 to the IRS and $20,000 in state.
Okay, so they put $20,000 more to the state of Maryland.
Yeah.
And they gave you a check for $200,000.
Yeah.
So do you have $70,000 somewhere that you could draw on?
This is the whole thing, is I'm tying up money that I wanted to free up to take care of me.
I understand, but this will take care of you, but you're going to hurt yourself. If you take that $270,000 and you let it be taxable to you, what's going to happen is you might even lose more than $70,000 in income taxes. I don't know what your total tax situation is. But if you defer it, if you put it into an IRA at a bank, you go to a local bank and say, I just want to set up an IRA and put it into a savings account for right now, because you only have 1 week. You have 60 days from the day they sent you that check to get it back into an IRA to defer the taxation. Once you defer the taxation, Beverly, we can think out what options you have and what are the best options for you to minimize the tax consequences and create income to you for the rest of your life that you'll never have to worry about it again.
So, Beverly, our phone number is 410-823-7283. Just in case.
823 what?
410-823-7283. And just in case you forgot any of that, because it is a pretty big deal and we'd certainly rather not see you lose all that money in taxes.
$40,000 plus. Then you said I needed another number. What was that number?
You need about the 53 plus the 20.
The same amounts that they withheld.
Okay, yeah, the tax amount withheld. Okay.
Right. You need about $270,000 to go into a traditional IRA, not a Roth IRA. You want it to go into a traditional IRA. There's plenty of time to convert to Roth if that's the best strategy for you. But it don't. Whoever did this to you, they did you dishonor. They didn't explain things to you, and they should never have let you take that money the way you took it. So I want you to just fix it, get it into an IRA, and then it can be thought out. But be careful who you go to think it out with you, because you want to make sure nobody sells you into something now from this point that's even worse than what we've been talking about, okay?
Okay, well, they gave me papers of all these options that maybe this is what you're talking about. I had all these options. I could put it in these annuities and beneficiaries.
See, when they do this, when they come out and say, okay, you have a pension, you could either get this monthly money or you could get this, they give you this big 8-10 page disclaimer of all these things you can do. But most people read them and it's like Greek to them. They're like, just give me the money, you know? And it's not right. It's not the way it should be. You need to get that into an IRA and then seek some help out of somebody that's going to be honest and trustworthy with you. And definitely don't listen to the bank managers. Those are the worst people to listen to, okay? That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it, Mikey.
All right, Beverly, thank you very much.
All right, we got to go.
All right.
Let's see if we can get...
Tom in Owings Mills, how can we help you? We only have about a minute or so left.
Yeah, this had to do with your recommendation about getting umbrella policies endorsed for uninsured motorist and bodily injury. And
there are very few companies that do it. Erie now is starting to do it. Encompass does it, and you should always do it if your net worth is any significance. You should always do it.
Yeah. I mean, I have a GEICO policy, and the umbrella, they told me, does cover the liability.
But not the uninsured motorist.
Right.
There are very few companies that do it, Tom. It's Erie is now doing it, Encompass, and a few others you can find out there. Very few will do it, okay? And you should always try to get it, or you should increase your liability insurance on your auto. And unfortunately, I'm out of time, but it's a great question. And we ought to do a whole show on auto insurance, Mike.
Absolutely.
Anyway, we got to go. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
I appreciate your call. Mikey, we're out of time again.
They
always run, and the people always call in. We got to rush the people off the phone, though. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Things are gonna